a long time. I thought I'd sing it today. I needed that song yesterday. Yesterday morning I got up, like everybody else got up early on the Saturday morning. And I had to go downstairs and pick up a check register downstairs that I keep. And I thought my dog had did something naughty on my carpet. And I realized that it wasn't my dog, it was my water heater that did something naughty on my carpet. And an hour later, and $875 later, I got me a new water heater. That's not bad. Water heater for 25 years. I put that one in. And the guy said, man, that lasts pretty good. I thought, man, let's see, 25 years more, I can make it. All right, so. But it's discouraging, amen? Sometimes those things happen, and, you know, we don't want them to happen to us, but they do. You know, amazing, it happens to preachers too, amen? So I drove the closer to him yesterday morning. Well, take your Bible, John chapter 1. I'm going to preach to you a message called Christ's Deity. It's pretty thick. It's pretty heavy. It's pretty strong. I believe with all my heart that people have lost the holiness of God. I hear so many people talking about the big man upstairs. He's not the big man upstairs. He is the Almighty God, Jehovah, Elohim, Adonai. And it really bothers me. I hear people, even at our church, use God's name in vain. And they said, oh, God, hey, you better be careful what you say. You know, that's, we have dummied down God so much that we've tried to put him on our level. He is not at our level. The Bible says that we are supposed to say, we come to God, and when we're really in trouble, we're supposed to call Abba Father. Amen? Well, that's really Abba Sir. That isn't just Daddy. We come to God. Yes, He's our Father, but we are to honor Him, and we are to realize He is holy. He is the word holy means separate, 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 different, different, different. He is different than us. He bears our pain. He loves us. The other day I asked God, I was praying. I said, dear God, I don't know how to pray. I said, would you do it for me? And He says He'll pray for us. So I was thinking about the deity of Christ. I think that we would be well aware of what God has for us. Over 200 years ago in the city of Bethlehem, a child was born in manger. This was not an ordinary child. This was the only begotten Son of God. This was the light of the world. And you remember the scriptures in Luke chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16 where the shepherds came and it said, it came to pass the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. These shepherds, who had spent their lifetime tending the lambs of the field, came and knelt down to the newborn lamb of Jesus Christ. And when they were kneeling, they were looking into the eyes of the Lamb of God, and here they witnessed God's greatest gift to mankind. He was not wrapped in silk or linen. He was not lying in a golden crib of a palace. There was no triumphal birth announcement, no great herald from a great king. Here the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. For years now, man has taken time out to meditate on that Christ day of birth. The world calls it Christmas or Christ Mass. Little boys and little girls are taught in Sunday schools that Christmas is a time to celebrate Jesus' birthday, and I'm for that, amen. But in reality, how much of Christmas do we really celebrate to give God the glory to the only begotten Son of Christ? There are those that think that they really did God a great job by putting on pageants and plays and cantatas. That's so that they can, may I see, perform. The greatest question is, what is the only gift that Christ will receive that he does not have? And I think you find that over in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8, where God states, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." And in Psalm 50, verse 10, God says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon the thousand hills. I know all the fowls in the mountains, and the wild beasts in the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof." Which gives us this idea that God is self-sufficient. God does not need me. The universe does not circle around me. The universe circles around him and him alone. What did Christ possibly want for those that he has already have? Jesus Christ was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He did not wear a crown. He did not sit on a throne. He came to die on a cross so that every woman and man and boy and girl could receive the gift of salvation. Jesus Christ wants what he came to die for. He wants the hearts and lost of the dying world. And if Jesus Christ wants that, and he is deity, he is God, don't you think that that is our responsibility to want the same thing he does? That we would want people come to Jesus Christ. In Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, "This is a true saying and worthy all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." That is God's desire for us, that we would know him as our personal Savior. This morning, I want you to consider a few things. First of all, he gave his love for us, and God gave his son for us. And his son gave his life, which happens to be the greatest gift of all. Maybe we could give him a little more of our consideration to the fact of who the Christ child truly was and ever will be. Many say to Jesus Christ that he was a divine, but not deity. Many say that he is the perfect revelation of God, but he's not God. Well, I think that deems me to the fact that I need to study and I need to search the scriptures. In fact, the Bible said that those over in Bethany, they searched the scriptures daily. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So first of all, I want to present to you, Jesus Christ declares his deity by direct teaching. He said, "I am the Christ." He claimed to be Jehovah. His very name implies self-existence. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name, and what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." And when you look at that word, I am, it signifies the real being of God. It's self-existence. I am. And that he is the being of beings. It also denotes his eternity, his immutability. The word immutability means his enduring, his lasting, his permanent. See, he's stable, he's unchanging, he's unwavering, he's unalterable. So when you hear somebody say that God is immutable, it's saying that God is lasting. He is enduring, he is permanent, he's stable, he's unchanging, he's unwavering, he's unalterable. And all God's people ought to say, amen. I'm glad that God is that. I'm glad that he does not change. When he said that if for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, God never changes that. It's truth. It'll always be true. Secondly, also, he is his consistency. I like people that are consistent. Don't you like people that are consistent? I mean, they're always there, always there, always there. It's an amazing thing that how important consistency is. This morning I woke up and I went down to the basement and I've got fans blowing down there. It sounds like two airplanes trying to take off and a helicopter down there. And I've got a dehumidifier going on down there. I just wanted to check it. And I came down there and I noticed there's still some water there. I said, what the world is that? And I noticed that on my the water heater that one of the places where they tightened up, I guess they didn't get it tightened up, but it was still dripping. And I called Curtis. I said, Curtis, I said, I hate to tell you this, but I still got a leak. He said, I'll be right over. Man, I like consistency. I like consistency. When a man says he'll do something, he gets it done, amen. And does it on time. And our church loves consistency. We love our Sunday school teachers there ready to go. We love our music people ready to go. We love our preachers and teachers ready to go, ready to teach. We love the people that when we walk in the door and they greet us and shake their hands and smile and say, hey, it's good to have you today. And they hand you a bulletin or hand you a, boy, I like that. That just blesses me. I even like to have somebody say, welcome, Pastor. Good to see you today. Today, it really bothered me since I've been gone a week. Somebody handed me a visitor card. But anyway, but I like consistency. I like consistency. I like, you know, I tell people, I say, when you come to church, come inside so I can see you're here. I like seeing you here. I saw a young man this morning come to church, and I didn't see him. He wasn't in my Sunday school class. I have no idea where he went. I'm going to talk about his consistency after the service today, amen. His faithfulness in fulfilling all his promises, that's consistency. He said, I am. That includes all time. He said, I am. That includes all past. He said, I am. That includes all present. He said, I am. That includes all that is to come. In the sense, not only is I am that I am present, but I am that I have been. I am what I shall be and shall be what I am. I am all that exists. I am all that is. I am all that shall be. I am he that is, and I am that shall be. That's when he said, I am. I am has a lot to do with God's character. And that's why he said, you just tell him, I am. Look what Moses wrote in Exodus and the things that God told him. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of the Almighty, by the name of God Almighty, by my name Jehovah, which I have not known of them. John wrote what he heard Jesus say to the Jews. He said, John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then he says over in verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, who art not yet, thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Our Lord said, belief in the deity was and is and ever will be the inseparable part of mankind's saving faith. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is God, you're not saved. John chapter 18, verse 4 through 6, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come unto him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Jesus Christ claimed that he is Lord. That's the word Adonai. God, the Son of the Old Testament. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Matthew chapter 22, verse 42 through 46 says, saying, what think ye, Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on the right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. He claimed absolute identity with God. John 10:30. I and my Father are one. Note the next verse proves that the Jews understood exactly what Jesus Christ said. A lot of people missed it, but these guys understood it. Chapter 10, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones against him to stone him, and Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father, which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They understood it. They understood it. He said, I'm God. I'm Christ. You remember the scripture over there when Jesus Christ was at the well and the woman came, the Sychar, and he said, I am he that speaketh to thee. He right out and out said, I am the Christ. And when he said that, she dropped her water pot and ran off to the city and told all the men, and they ran and came to him. She understood it was the Christ. John chapter 14, verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, it suffices us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with thee, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how saith then, show us the Father? Secondly, Jesus Christ declared his deity in direct proof. He accepted human worship. Matthew chapter 14, 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, and when they went to tell his disciples, for Jesus met them, saying, all hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. John chapter 20, verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me and yet have believed. Note what the angels say, though, when people come to worship them. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. This is the fact that Christ, he received worship. His angels do not receive worship. Only God is to be worshipped. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, and I fell at his feet. This is John the Apostle who's writing the Revelation. He said, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Get up! Don't worship me, you know. If that angel would have allowed him to worship, that's no different than Satan, amen. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 9. Then saith him unto me, see thou that do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophet, and them that keep the sayings of the book, worship God. God's law, listen now, God's law and requirement is only that we would worship God. We worship no other being, only God. Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. For thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Note God the Father called his Son God also. There's another point. God the Father called his Son. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. But thou, the Son, hath saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. For thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens and the works of thine hand. So God Almighty said, this is God, Jesus Christ. God said that no one could forgive sins except God. No one can forgive sins except God. Jesus forgave sins. Mark chapter 2 and verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins are forgiven. Nobody can do that except your God. I can't forgive your sins. I can forgive you for doing something against me, but I can't forgive your sin. It is God who forgives. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart, why did this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? Luke chapter 7, verse 48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Also, when you look in the deity of Christ, you've got to look at power. And God said that he was all power. Jesus displayed omnipotent power, all power. He had the creation power. I was with Brother Justin Brown last week, and he gave me about four DVDs of creationism. And a young man that had graduated from Hiles Anderson College tells about for the dinosaurs and what time and the age of the year Earth, and man, it's just unbelievable how he just brings it out and shows it in tremendous portion of Scripture. And I hope one of these days we'll just maybe take a few nights to show them. It's tremendous. I've never seen anything like it. When I was a boy in high school, my faith was almost crushed by my science and biological teacher. And man, I couldn't figure it out. But my pastor, thank God for my pastor, heard of it, and he started preaching on the 6 days of creation, the seventh day of rest, and he started talking about the what we call the young earth, 6,000 years, I know that. And in fact, I was watching some of this, and they were showing how that at Mount Helen, when St. Mount Helen exploded, you know everything, that there's these stones that were never there. They were made within like a few days, you know. It's an incredible thing, you know. And we think that, oh, it's a billion years old. I get so mad when I'm watching stuff and people say billion years old. How do you know? Were you there? God was there. God said on the first day, on the second day, on the third day, on the fourth day, on the fifth day. I was interested when the man says, you know, that's really interesting that on the third day, God separated land from the water. And he got us all the trees and the plants and the fruit-bearing trees and all the grass, all the vegetation. And he said, isn't it amazing, you people that believe in what they call the gap theory, that God had a day and then it lasted for thousands of years and then another day. He said, isn't that amazing? How in the world? He said, it takes bees to pollinate things. He said, boy, that's really a miracle that those trees and all that growth live for thousands of years without being pollinated. And I thought I got it. Amen. So, amen. That's baloney. So much baloney out there trying to. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than faith that God said. Amen. Well, God has a creative power. And the Bible says that, and they They came to him and awoke him and said, Master, Master, we perished. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. I wish we could have that in Montana once in a while. John chapter 6, verse 19. And when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. They were afraid. He is the master of all nature. Luke chapter 9 and verse 16, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake them and gave the disciples to set them before the multitude. They did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments that remained of them 12 baskets. I don't know, I've been at a few suppers at our church and not knowing any baskets of food left over, amen. John chapter 2 and verse 9, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that he had that was made and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, changed water into wine. Also, God displays omniscience. The word omniscience comes from this idea of all knowledge. John chapter 11, verse 11, and these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he does well. And howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he was spoken of them rest in sleep. And then Jesus said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, isn't that interesting? He is speaking this 60 miles away before he even gets there. Jesus Christ is omniscient. He knows everything about everything. The troubles and the sorrows you're going through today, that didn't surprise God. He knows everything. Mark said, but there are certain of the scribes sitting here and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? All of us parents wish we're omniscient. We would know the truth. When I was a kid, I was driving my father's Biscayne Chevrolet brand new. And some of my buddies said, and it was a stick shift, if you turn the key off on the column and push the gas pedal down, you start it back up, and it'll backfire. How many have ever tried that? Shame on you. I was going down a pretty good hill, so I was going to try it, so I turned it off, went, boom! And it went, I blew the muffler apart. So I took it home and I said, my dad said, what happened? I said, I don't know. Now you're looking at him. I don't know. He said, well, you better take it over to Al's garage. So I took it over to Al's garage. He said, what'd you do? Did you turn that ignition off and turn it back on? I said, no, I didn't do that. He said, man, he said, that's the only way this thing would do this. God knows. God knows every lie that you lie. He knows everything that you try to tell to make you look good or make someone else look bad. Stupid me. That mechanic knew. And when I said, I don't know, he knew I was lying. And he said to me, he said, you're a liar. And you know what I did? I got mad. You know what I got mad? Because he was right, and I was wrong. That cost my dad $75. I guess I got to apologize to him when I get to heaven. God is omniscient. The unspeakable gift, no other gift can be ever be compared, nor was there ever a gift that is so far, yet here's the gift we may share, his unspeakable gift. From heaven afar, this gift was sent, a sacrifice for sin it was meant. It spoke to earth of God's intent, his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable so that no tongue can tell, so precious it is, and can never fail. 'Tis Christ, the Lord Emmanuel, God's unspeakable gift. Don't go against God. He knows all about it. The best thing to do is come to him and say, God, I am a sinner. Father, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now. That's the greatest gift of all. You say, but preacher, you just don't understand. You don't know how bad I am. That doesn't make any difference. We have a God that forgives. Didn't I tell you that this morning in his deity? He is a forgiving God. We have a God that forgives. I know I've quoted this a million times, and I'm going to keep quoting it until my dying day. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every one of us sin. Everyone has told a lie. Some tell big lies. Some tell little lies, but they're all lies. They're like an onion. Every time you peel off a peel onion, there's still a lie there. Amen. And the Bible says when you break one law, you break them all. So if you're here today and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never experienced the wonderful gift of God today. God loves you. And he cares for you. And he promises to come in your heart and save your soul if you only believe in him. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Thank you for the magnificence of the study that you are a God that loves us. You are a God who cares for us. Dear God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. Lord, if there's anyone here today that has never experienced salvation, never experienced the love of God, today I pray that this would be that day that experienced that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that today. I'd sure like to know that today. My friend, God loves you so much. He gave his only begotten son for you. And his son loved you so much, was willing to leave the gates of heaven and come down to his throne in heaven, come down to this earth to live as a pauper, to live as one who had nothing so that he could save you. Won't you please come to Jesus today? You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Right here, right now, you can pray this prayer. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross, and I believe you rose from the grave. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now, at this spot. You're here today and say, preacher, I prayed that prayer today. Would you lift your hand today and say, preacher, I asked Jesus to be my Savior. You're here today and you say, preacher, you know, there's the things in my life that I need to change. And boy, would you pray for me? God bless you. Just lift your hand. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. God, help these. Help these ones that have raised their hand. Lord, help them to change and to come more like you. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. Everyone stand. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I certainly like to know that. Why don't you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle and say, I want salvation today. I want Jesus to be my Savior. Why don't you come right now? Just step out of that seat and say, preacher, today is the day I want to make sure that I get saved. You hear today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. Why don't you come right now? I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and believer's baptism. Why don't you come? You're here today and say, preacher, you know what? We want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. We've been here for a while. We're checked things out. We see that, believe the Word of God. We believe that you believe the salvation by faith and not by works, as any man should boast. You preach the Word of God, the counsel of the Word of God. The right kind of singing here, right kind of music. This is where we want to be part of. Why don't you come at this time? Boy, it's great to be part of a church, a local church. God loved the church so much, He gave His Son for it. And Jesus Christ loved the church so much, He bought it with His own price. And that price was His blood. Father, I ask You to be with us today. Thank You, Lord God, for Your deity. Thank You, Lord God, that You are God. And You came to this earth and took on the form of a man, put on man's humility and man's humanity. And You were willing to walk the streets and the trails and to live in this old blood, sweat, tear earth to show us that a man who was God, loved us so much to be willing to do that. Lord, thank You for that. We're amazed. We're awed to the fact that who You are. God, we bring great honor and glory to Your holy name. We ask You, Lord Jesus, that You would be with us today. Keep us safe, Lord, that those that are sick, those that are hurting today, have great needs, Lord God, that You'd come and put Your loving arms around about them and let them know that You have not left them. Let them know that You're here with them. Lord, be with us today as we serve You and give our hearts to You and tell others about the blessed love of You. Lord, bless this time. Help us as we go. May we be careful and bring us back tonight for the evening service. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.